Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I, of course, want you to holler at me, so give me a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Also, if you don't want to call me, I understand some of y'all live. Afraid, got some trepidation behind you, reaching out and touching people with the dial pad. Feel free to email me your questions, comments, concerns. I am always interested in your email. SmoothDrama@SmoothDrama.com is the email address. You can email me anything. I got you. Also, I want you to social network with me. I have my Facebook page just the Smooth Drama page. It's a private group, so, or a closed group. And so all you have to do is ask, can I get in? And I will let you in. It's like I let all the vampires in, because, you know, my joke is y'all all want to join. I get like 4 or 5 requests a week, and you get in, but you never say hi to me. I'm like, Can I get a high? Can I get a real world high friend request? It's like, hello to you too. Anyway, just Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me. I'll add you back. And we can talk a taste on it. And speaking of talking to taste, it's not a lot of talking that goes with this. But just in case you didn't know, I will remind you, as I was reminded, thank you, chocolate. It is National Masturbation Month. And the question is, how are you spending this month? Have you masturbated for or with a friend? Have you masturbated for yourself? Those are the questions. This is the get in touch with yourself month, literally and figuratively speaking. And, you know, if you have, as Mr. J would say, I would say with 500% certainty, feel free to email us your best videos at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com if you're feeling yourself, literally and figuratively speaking. I'm joking, but I'm not. Maybe. I could be joking. Or I might not be joking. But if you want to call my bluff, I will not stop you. But if you don't call my bluff, I can't stop you because you didn't call my bluff in the first place. Does that make sense? Probably not. Anyway. Love yourself. It's that time. You should love yourself every day, but May... really love yourself. Really, really love yourself. Oh, also, I almost forgot. Jump in the chat room. If you're ghost listening to the show, which some of you tend to do at a rapid rate, feel free to jump in. Ask me a question, but not during the show. I do get in the chat room from time to time, and we can go back and forth. Now, talking about back and forth, I don't know if you know how I feel about prostitution. I'm not a big fan of tricking. I'm not a big fan of prostitution. I don't understand the whole concept. None of it makes sense to me. But hey, to each their own. I won't hate on you for doing it. My favorite state of Florida. Shout out to Najeeb. You moved out there on purpose. I don't know why. But anyway, there's a woman who was charged with prostitution after she agreed to perform sex on an undercover detective for $25 and chicken McNuggets. Now, you know, apparently the undercover detective told the woman he wanted oral sex and she agreed to do it for $25, and they went back and forth on the price, and she agreed for $25 and the nuggets. And of course, she was arrested. Now, one could say that's entrapment. You know, when you know they're a lady, you used to say it's the lady of the evening, but they asked to be out there at like 1:30, 2:30, 3:30 in the afternoon nowadays. It's like, come on. But, I mean, the nugget, I mean, why don't you just, I mean, because I think Burger King's got that $1.99 special, as well as McDonald's. So, just $27. I mean, she was getting arrested. My argument is invalid, but it's the fact that chicken nuggets, it's like they just bartering now nowadays. I still don't get tricking, but I just wanted to talk about that because tricking is in my brain now all of a sudden, because I saw in Oklahoma City, there's a, not Oklahoma City, Elk City, Oklahoma. You get it right. In Elk City, Oklahoma, an 8-year-old was expelled for pimping. Now, he's anonymous due to his age, but apparently the young man had a nice little business going. He had $3 for a 10-second makeout session and $2 for a 15-second hug, which included groping. And apparently, he had 8 girls he recruited. And true to pimp fashion, he didn't pay them. But the fact that he had 8-year-old pimping. And apparently it was for 3 months before he got caught. And they said the teachers and the principal became suspicious because lunch attendance began to dwindle. So apparently they had 27 boys and 5 girls who came forward, admitted they were paying. They were paying to hug and grope and make out. I'm scared to think what a make out session would be at an elementary school. It's kind of scary and gross all at the same time. And now the authorities, they're estimating that the young man made about $500 in 3 months. And said he turned the money over to his parents and helped them to save the trailer. I mean, so he was being an entrepreneur. Now, I bring this up because I know what people say about prostitution and whatnot. And, you know, I'm an admitted hater of prostitution. I don't understand prostitution and tricking. You know, you think that you just, if you need a hug from somebody and some unnecessary groping, whether as an adult, you should be able to find somebody, but that's a whole different subject. The point is, prostitution is illegal. And you can go to jail, like the woman in Florida. She goes to jail for something. It's her body. What people do with their body shouldn't be legislated, I believe. I mean, contrary to pop, I don't understand it, but hey, if that's what they want to do, they should be able to do it. Like, if I want to sell pussy, I don't have a pussy, but if I wanted to sell pussy, I should be able to sell pussy. Just like if I wanted to sell dick, I should be able to sell dick and not get in trouble for what I do with my body. Now, we know, obviously, it is not a smart, well-informed choice, but at the same time, if folks is consenting to it, should be able to happen. And I know there's a whole pimp and all this other stuff, but I mean, nobody cared about slavery, and we still celebrating slavery, enslavers losing the Civil War. But once again, I'm digressing. You have stock markets. You have stocks. I mean, the Wolf of Wall Street. We've seen many of these things play out from the Great Depression on, where people are selling BS and ruining people's financial lives. And they're not, and they're doing this every day. And they don't get arrested for that. They're ruining people's lives more than prostitution does, or as equally. I mean, if we want to be real with it. I'm just saying. There are a lot of things that people do that, as far as government, and I mean, the guy was like, yeah, access to healthcare. I'm trying to think of the guy. He said, access to healthcare has never killed, lack of access to healthcare has never killed anyone. Can you find me proof? It's like, yeah, the people who don't have healthcare, they probably just died, or eventually they died, and they aren't rich, so nobody cares, so it wouldn't be a story anyway. It's one of those things. Speaking of which, one of those things, in tricking, Ja Rule, yeah, I saw Ja Rule in the news, and I thought, man, speaking of tricking, you know, I was like, man, Ja Rule got another album out? Nope, not an album. Ja Rule had a festival, a fire festival that he canceled. Apparently, Ja Rule and real name Jeffrey Atkins, and some guy, Billy McFarland, they had put together a festival called the Fire Festival. And apparently it didn't go over that well. It was supposed to be a live music from My Ghost, Blink-182, and Models on an exclusive island in the Caribbean, starting on April 28th. Apparently, it just didn't happen. And according to festival attendees, they said the conditions were more like the Hunger Games or the Lord of the Flies than Coachella. And after paying hundreds of dollars, some people paid thousands of dollars for tickets. The suit claimed that the attendees, they couldn't get transportation out because there was nothing happened. It was supposed to be a cashless event. It was supposed to be all inclusive, in other words. But they had no real food. They had like grilled cheese sandwiches and toast and tomatoes. I mean, one, it's Ja Rule. I mean, it's Ja Rule. If you didn't like his album, why would you? I mean, come on. Was he ever really hot, like talking about it in the street? And so, I mean, one, like I said, it's Ja Rule. Two, it's a rapper throwing an event. Now, we know rappers, and I'm not questioning his business acumen. I'm just going to say, rappers, when they have events, they're normally high as hell, so they don't remember most of it, and they're just in the VIP tricking off money. See, I'm using that word trick a lot. Anyway, so if I hear of Ja Rule putting together a festival, a smart person would wait. Well, like first year, go ahead. Say if it comes off great, word. All right, I'll support the brother next year. But the first year, I ain't even heard Ja Rule putting together a great party in the club, much less talking about I'm going to go to an island and going to trust my vacation dollars and fun with Ja Rule. Woo! Ain't that much crack in the world. Ain't that much crack in the world. I'm just saying. But hey, whatever. I'm going to say this, though. I need a break. And in true break fashion, it's Mother's Day this weekend, so I'm do the exact opposite because I live in a bizarre world. This is Method Man, Red Man, Father's Day.
So disorganized. Look around you. Every hood that's taking care of business is together digging.
I tend to spend my life running away. For what it's worth, how much dirt can I get done in a day? I got a clip in the AK.
I'm not in the tray.
I'm a beast.
Fuck the police.
WA. I play this game at the hustler's play. And if you're dressed in the metrosexual way, then motherfucker, you gay. Y'all can say the drama, but can't slay. Like who's fucking my chick? Or writing books about sucking my dick. Now I don't give a fuck what they say. Cause once I put on my cool, they see my life and wanna put on my shoes. Top of the world, ma, look at you do. I dig a chick with an attitude, but I don't let her cook up my food. It's like these young niggas hugging the strip. Who got the power to move bricks and buildings? Never loving a bitch, slipping with game. Y'all can juggle the shit. Ain't nothing changed. My niggas is off the chain, and we don't muzzle the pit.
I pick up my pen, I begin my flow. I close my eyes, the right rhymes in the blackout mode. My Uzi weigh over a ton, CD plays over. I do my crown with baking soda with no odor. Pull out like boat motor string. Scratch the shoulder wing, death squad decoder ring, psychopath ordering. My dog shitting on your lawn while you watering. Pay the fine, order him to shit on your lawn again. B-O-C, get it. C-O-D, my hood. P-O-P, nigga. N-J-D, baby. Jersey State of Mind, Method Man, lock him in. Y'all niggas give a fuck, punk, we the opposite. I hear you gossiping, cause we on. Just because I rock, don't mean I'm made of stone. My bones are sturdy. I wake up to get it early when I bully the street. My coatee is Keith Murray in a hurry. Back down, the boy, roll with it. This hour sound when the boys are transmitted. Bricks to Staten Island with babies turning to killers. It's why my Cadillac bear more arms than caterpillars. Let's get it.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Method Man, Red Man. Father's Day. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, man. Ain't it good to be Aaron Hernandez? He had his murder conviction tossed. Fortunately, he like killed himself last week, allegedly. So, well, 2 weeks ago on April 19th. So yeah, they're gonna erase his conviction of the murder of old Lloyd. Like, but he's dead. I mean, does it mean anything now? I'm trying to figure out what does this mean. I mean, is this supposed to make the family feel better? Like, well, yeah, you know, he was exonerated of that after he killed himself for doing it. And then on top of it, I ain't trying to sound callous or anything, but when you talk about the family of Odin Lloyd, so you're saying to them, hey, you know what? Because he killed himself, he's not going to be known as a murderer. Even though, allegedly, he killed himself so that because he was going to be locked away for them being a murderer. It's just a confusion there. But these are those calls that they make that just make no sense whatsoever. Like, after the fact, like, oh yeah, clearing the name. It's sort of like you always hear when they restorative justice thing, where, oh, like some Asian guy was denied being a doctor all his life, so like 80 years later, we gave him a doctor's license. Like, oh, okay, he's dead. We gonna give it to him after he's dead. Or like you always hear, oh, justice for the guy. He was in jail for 45 years. And hey, we found out evidence saying that, hey, you know what? He didn't do it. You let him go after the fact. Or you say, well, they were innocent. Yeah, no shit. You know they was innocent. But this one is different because he is not innocent. So why are we doing it? Makes no sense to me. And I probably wasted way too much time and energy talking about it, but it just seems weird that you're gonna drop charges on a guy that's guilty as hell. Because he killed himself. Just because you kill yourself or you get killed, allegedly, doesn't mean you're not guilty. Still guilty as hell. And speaking of not guilty, guilty as hell, Michigan police officer Cleon Brown, white cop, and he's suing the police chief and the city after a chain of events that began when he took a genetic test through Ancestry.com and discovered that he could trace 18% of his DNA to regions in Africa. Now, he said he was surprised by how the people in the police department reacted to the news. The police chief called him Kunta Kinte. Other officers would walk by him and whisper Black Lives Matter when they walked by. Even the retired mayor made cracks about it. You know. And the mayor told a quote-unquote racist joke, like, and said he was Santa with 18% black written on his beard. It's like in picture, but I'm like, okay, welcome to the club. And quiet as kept. I mean, you going through Ancestry.com to find out that 18% of your DNA goes to Africa. If the first person was found in Africa, yeah, that's not really a stretch. Anyway, so, and the fact that he is suing, he filed a federal civil rights lawsuit against the town, the police chief, and its deputy chief, a sergeant, and the city manager. And he says, and I quote, and this is funny, "These are law enforcement officers. These are people who are supposed to understand cultural sensitivities. Now, for a white cop, an 82% white cop, to complain about the police on black men, 18% black. I mean, because you're 18%. I mean, I don't know. Because if you look up Cleon Brown, you look at his picture, it's like, come on, man. You can't even remotely pass for a black man. I think you'll be all right. You're the one that chose to tell folks that you're 18% black. It's like, now, and it's ironic, a white cop is suing over racism because they're calling him names. It's like, homie, as a 100% black man, we've been living the dream all our lives. So you're fretting over your 18%. Boo hoo. It's like, and he's suing. Now if he wins, I'm sorry, I'm filing my lawsuit tomorrow. I'm filing my lawsuit tomorrow. No, I'm not a cop. But for every time I've been stopped by the cops because, I don't know, I just fit the description. You know, Kunta, you know, being, I mean, I think a lot of black men have these stories about the police for obvious reasons and being stereotyped by the police. And I mean, hell, I'm a nerd. I don't have a gangster bone in my body. Gang bank, none of that. I don't even understand the phenomenon. And you know, we get arrested. I mean, I had a whole crew of nerds. We had to stop riding in our cars together. We had to ride separately. It cost us gas money. I could sue for that. Cost us gas money because we all couldn't ride together because we would get stopped for all kinds of foolish reasons. So, you know, for this dude to sue because he was called Kunta and somebody said Black Lives Matter when they walked by. I don't feel your pain, homie. Welcome to reality. You'll be all right. And if you're not, we don't really care. At least I know I don't. And speaking of not really caring, Valerie Hoff, who is an Atlanta TV reporter, and she was a frequent CNN contributor, resigned after using the N-word in her Twitter. Only thing is, she didn't call somebody else the N-word. She called herself the N-word. So, what happened? Curtis Rivers, that got a hold of video with a Groundhog Day event, police brutality in Atlanta. He used his Twitter account to tweet that an overwhelming number of news N-words were trying to track him down so they could get a copy of his video footage. So Valerie Hoff saw the message on Twitter and replied, "Please call this news N-word." And then that's when it happened. And so he responded with the whole laughing my fucking ass off. But when he looked her up and saw that she was white, he says, "I just looked through your photos on Twitter and realized you are not black, but called me the N-word." And then she replies, "No, I called myself one." Then he got angry and says, "How would I be able to contact your manager or lawyer?" And he goes on to say, and I quote, "I just think it wasn't right for her to use that word in regards to a person who is African American on herself or use that word, period. If she is bold enough to say it to me, being an African American, then I'm pretty sure this isn't the first time she has used that word." Now, she was put on 2-week suspension, but then she resigned after quote unquote pressure.
I see.
I'm not a fan of this. And I'm sorry. I know folks, you know, a lot of black folks out, and you know, it's me. I'm Mr. FN Word. When you have black folks, I'm looking for these new N words so that I can sell it to one of them, which is what he was doing. But then she says, "Yeah, I'm a news N-word. Hit me up." And he gets mad over that? I'm just going to say, and I'm going to say it every day till I die, the N-word is not a term of endearment. As Richard Pryor, late great Richard Pryor, famously said, "Hey, I went to Africa, I didn't see any N-words." And in the film biopic about him, when he was like, "Oh, because I don't say the N-word no more, the joke ain't funny." Y'all ignorant. Now, you get mad. If you're getting mad, you could say it all day and all night. You could say this racist ass word all day and all night. But you get mad at somebody else for saying the word. You get mad at a white person. You can't get mad at white people for saying what you say. Yeah, they started it. But you continue perpetrating. You like tongue kissing this word. And yes, tongue kissing, like, it's like when every time I see black folks, and as someone who works with children, I don't tolerate the word. I've said it. Hey, I don't use the word. I don't use the word. And yeah, you'll say, "Well, hey, sometimes you may play some music with the word in it." Hey, I can't say that I agree with it, but everybody says what they're going to say. I don't trip off of what other people say. And the derogatory use of the word, I'm not a fan of, but I understand it. But I don't understand you getting mad when you use it so liberally when you see somebody else use it. And in this case, it ain't even that serious. Hey, she said it. Move on. Just move on with it. And there's nothing to see here. And the fact that she had to, hey, she was just being a thirsty reporter. Like all reporters, paparazzi, they're all thirsty. And so she was talking to you in your language. I say in your language because you're the one that used it and got mad at her and all the people who are in outrage. There are a lot of things to be outraged over. If you're so outraged and in the streets behind this, I please would beg you to be that outraged when these brothers and sisters is out here in the streets killing each other. Where's the outrage in your community when they're acting out of turn? No outrage there. Or not enough of an outrage where you can stop some of this stuff. Or you just hold your kids in the community accountable. And I know it's a little bit more than that, and it sounds so easy, but I would just say that, hey, if you're going to go all out, you're going to go hard in the paint against the white person using the N-word when you use it all the time, you would think that you would use that same energy to try to help the community be better. Reach out and actually talk to black folks. And be positive in your community. That's what I would call successful organizing. This right here, making her resign. No, I don't see what the good was in that. And speaking of resigning, I guess you wouldn't call it resigning when James Comey found out that he was fired for watching TV while talking to FBI agents in LA. That's kind of funny. I mean, when you think about that for a second, why he was fired, they said that speculation is he was investigating Trump and the Russian link. Apparently, I guess he was getting a little too close for comfort, and so he got fired while out doing his job. He got fired. And you know, you're talking and you're doing whatever the hell FBI does, you know, besides setting people up. And he gets, you know, you watching it on TV, then he's sequestered and brought to Washington D.C. Clean out his office and I guess be debriefed or whatever. Yeah. And so Trump said he did it to allow a new beginning at the FBI. Like, instead of doing it when he first got hired, I'm going to wait till you start investigating me. Well, oh, you're investigating me. You're fired. I'm going to fire you and get the best people possible. I'm going to get the best people possible. And it's going to be so awesome. You're not going to understand how awesome this new person is because I know the best people. Ain't that how Trump talk? Oh, it's funny to me. And it's like Groundhog Day-ish, right? Where you're investigating something that's real obvious because the dude that Trump had working his campaign, whatnot, was working with the Russians. Those are the facts. And so you're investigating that and you get fired. Now, this is about as blatant as it gets, right? You're investigating me, so I fire you. Because you're investigating an obvious crime. Period, point blank. Doesn't even matter, though. His lovers and supporters, they just keep rolling with them punches. Me, myself, I don't have the vocabulary for this foolishness. So I'm going to go on break because I was trying to be clever and make that play on words. This is the Fugees. I'm going back in time a little bit. Vocab.
Yo, this is the Fugees, refugees, about to take you on a journey into the dimensions of the Book of Basement, the basement word. Hey, yo, 1, 2, 3,
uh-huh.
The crew is called refugees,
uh-huh.
And if they come for just the rap styling,
uh-huh.
Stop the violence and just bring it on, why, yo?
Ding ding. All right. Composing myself. Groundhog Day. You know, this is where I talk about those things that happen over and over and over again. And it's all the same. It's like you wake up, that alarm rings, and the same thing happens again and again and again. This one is a little bit more personal, this Groundhog Day. If you know, I'm based in the Bay Area, Oakland to be exact. And Friday was first Friday down in the Oakland area. It's where they have a lot of the vendors, whatnot. And I'm a comic book publisher. I'm a partner in a comic book publishing company. And so we're there. You know, we have our books, and we like to think of ourselves, we are the Bay Area's publisher, because Image Comics left, so there's only one major comic book publisher here in the Bay Area, and that would be us, National Press Comics. You're welcome. Anyway, so when people come by the booth, whatnot, they're like, oh my God, you guys are so professional. Oh, you have black comics. It's so amazing. Good job. Good for you. It's like, and trust me, when I say Groundhog Day, it's because we see and hear this a lot. Like, they'll come up to the booth, and first thing they'll say, because black folks are behind the counter, oh, black comics. Okay. Second, they'll say, good for you guys. Man, these are quality. Good for you guys. Like, you know, patting you on the head. It's like I've uppercut so many people in my dreams when I hear the pat on the head. Good for you guys. You guys are doing black comics. That's awesome. No, we're doing comics. See, because we never... And I don't think anybody growing up was like, you know what? You go to the drugstore back in my day. I'm taking myself. You go to any store. It's like, man, I'm looking for them white comics. I got to buy me some white comics. No, we just bought comics. We didn't put the race behind it. Now, bring this up because... we talked earlier, you know, when it comes to black, just being 18% black was too much for homie. He couldn't take the Black Lives Matter and being called Kunte. Now, for us in particular, and I know I speak for my partners, the racial component when it comes to the comics, and because folks will see the quality and they're like, man, these are great comics. It's like, but you know, you see a lot of times they're like, I can't buy from you because you're like black. Now, I'm not saying that they're saying these words, but their face is saying that. And it's one of those things, because when you put the black on it, you're saying it's an inferior product. Just because we happen to be black. But it's like, no, we're just black folks who have imagination and make comics. Period, point blank. It's nothing inferior about anything we do. But that is the connotation that is put on us. And it is frustrating from time to time. I mean, because we get mad love, but you will get the one or two ignorant assholes, like the guy in Lodi. Oh, we have a title, Black Jackson. He's like, so which one of you guys is named Jack? It's like, ha, 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 ha. Not. But that's the Groundhog Day that we deal with from time to time. It's interesting, but I wouldn't change it because, hey, we... are doing something, and they talk about it in the name of diversity. No, we just folks with imagination. If you got imagination and you got a story to tell, you want to add some mythos to the world, and got great stories, tell your story, because we're going to tell ours, no matter how ignorant you people are. And if you're one of those you people, whatever, I don't care. Speaking of which, Maxine Waters, she, at the MTV Awards, she presented a Best Fight Against the System MTV Award to Taraj P. Henson. Because she did the movie Hidden Figures. And I'm like, okay. She came out, she said, thank you for your work. Thank you for your voice and how you use it. And thank you for being an extraordinary example for all of us, especially in these times. And that's what Tracy Ellis Ross said. Maxine Waters adds on, artists, actors, singers, and citizens have a unique opportunity, the ability to speak out and inspire change. Honest and well-told stories lead to important discussions, they lead to understanding, and they lead to change nations. So, I applaud that. It's admirable, but I'm sitting up there at the Best Fight Against the System MTV Award. That's cool. She got the award, but as I see it, Hollywood allowed the movie to be made because they knew it was going to make millions of dollars, which it did. No hate on Taraj, no hate on Maxine Waters or Tracy Ellis Ross, but the fact is, this is what it is. I mean, it's about the profit. They knew that this was a moneymaker. They was going to be able to get black folks to come in and watch the movie, which was good. And, you know, wanting kids to be interested in math and the sciences is a beautiful thing. I approach that wholeheartedly and encourage it with all my heart and soul. But at the same time, the Best Fight Against the System, making that movie is not necessarily the best fight against the system. There are plenty of things that you can get an award for as far as fighting against the system. A movie that made Hollywood millions of dollars would not be one of them. But that's just me. Maybe I'm hating. But I just don't see it as something that's viable as far as fighting the system. I mean, because when we talk about the system, I'm talking about a system that systematically downgrades us and tells us that we are inferior every day. No, I say that because, you know, we talk about in the education system. Every day, your kids have to learn how inferior they are in history. They have to worship and revere people who did not think of them as anything but property. When we talk about these founding fathers, who all but one of the persons who signed the Declaration of Independence had slaves. These are the people we revere. Christopher Columbus, who discovered this land with millions of people, slave trader. Civil War, fought over slavery and the economy and the fact that they didn't want to pay people a decent wage. Now, does it have something to do with the argument nowadays? Yeah. We're talking about people who are still mad. Right now, they're just mad at Mexicans. Deport them. But real business people are like, nah, we can't deport them. Who the hell is going to do all the work? Because there's not a long line to pick strawberries. But I'm digressing. The point is, day after day after day, kids are beaten, downtrodden. We can talk about all the different shows that highlight your oppressors in a positive light. And I'm talking about, you know, the plethora of cop shows, or we could talk about the FBI, CIA shows where you have a sympathy. I mean, even the show, the presidential shows, they try to make them designated survivor where they're like human, like they care about regular people. No. See, because the reality is they do not. Now, once again, I do not condemn all politicians, nor do I condemn all people who work in law enforcement. We'll say, okay, 95% of the people are bad, and then there's 5% who are good. I'm a positive person. I would like to say that it's a higher ratio, and maybe it's the exact opposite. We're highlighting this 5% that's no good, and the 95% are good. I don't know. I just know there's a perceived perception that we as black people, people of color, however you want to go about it, where we're perceived as the enemy, looked at as the enemy, looked at as criminals, prejudged as criminals. Why? I don't know. There are some folks who do bad, and there are some folks who do good. I mean, we look at the reality. If you create conditions that breed these type of people, do you blame the person who was bred to be that way or the breeder? I mean, we talk about pit bulls, animals like that, for example, because I know how people love their dogs. If you breed your animal, you breed your animal to be a killer, they're going to be, right? It's one of those things. So when you create the conditions that are negative and they produce negativity, and then you attack those people for being what you created them to be, you know, and I say to the people who are listening, who is wrong and who is right? That's the question. Because I'm quite sure that if we wanted to do something positive, it would not be highlighted. But negativity be shown day after day, hour after hour. How can we change it? I don't know. But we need to figure it out soon. And on that note, I am Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. I'll holla. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.